All right, welcome to another episode of Career Bound with myself and Mitchell. So today we have a fun episode. We're going to talk about how to, you know, what are the most valuable skills to start developing early on in your career and how to do that exactly. So I'm going to start off by a really good framework that I'm going to steal from Scott Adams, the creator of the comic strip Dilbert. His advice on skill stacking is become very good. Meaning become like focus on becoming in like the top 25% at two or more things versus just focusing on becoming the best at one specific thing. I really like that framework. I think it's intimidating and it's hard to become like the best in the world at one thing, but it's really more, it can be a lot more valuable to focus on becoming really good at multiple things, and especially early on in your career when it's like, I don't know what the one thing I want to specialize in, I want to master in, etc. is. So yeah, let's start there. Like for that growth minded, you know, young student who, you know, has ambition to, you know, build an interesting, fulfilling career, they're interested in the business and startup world, like what do you think are the essential skills to start developing early on, Mitchell?
Yeah, so I could rattle off a lot of skills, but I think that kind of some other mindset issues are worth discussing first before just arbitrarily throwing out some skills that are both useful and valuable. I think there are a couple different ways to think about it, especially if you're early on in your career and you lack clarity about what you want to do. I think first, you got to recognize that there is sort of this cost of entry into the labor market and to like the pool of cool opportunities in the world. Like you have to figure out some way to get your foot in the door. The easiest way to do that, we talked about on our previous episode in depth, is like building some kind of strong signal. I think early on in your career though, it's less dependent on having, you know, any type of remarkable skill set. It's all those other intangibles. And we've kind of gone down that rabbit trail. But when you're at the start of your career, I think I encounter this a lot talking to young adults. There's sort of this fear, I think, there's both this pressure and this fear. There's this pressure that I have to have it all figured out. And then there's the fear of like going all in on one skill as a way of like, well, I've defined my future. And what I want right now is optionality rather than having this like deterministic future of like, I've chosen one thing. What happens if that thing ends up being the thing that I'm not interested in? And so when I think about early on, sort of the way that I would recommend approaching skill building is recognize sort of the cost of entry into cool opportunities. First is you got to get your foot in the door. The best way to do that is like finding one or two in-demand skills, like you mentioned. But I think when you're going into that like grab bag of like good in-demand skills, don't just pick a couple of things that are in demand. Try to also refine that list of like, what am I naturally inclined towards? What are the things I'm naturally interested in among this set of in-demand skills? And start there. Use that as sort of your point of entry and recognize that over time, you may find a different set of skills you want to focus on. And that's where I think that the magic of like skill stacking really begins to compound favorably in your career is once you get your foot in the door and you gain more context about the types of problems that you want to solve or the types of industries you want to work in or the types of like the niches within your career. So for example, one very in-demand skill, and this is really an umbrella of a bunch of skills, is like the ability to sell yourself. This includes like so many different sub skills. It's it's professional communication. It's also like presentation skills. It's the ability to construct an offer, to sort of learn how to package value. It's copywriting to some degree. There's all these sort of like components of like super skills, sales being what I would say is like probably one of the highest optionality skills you can build early in your career, because it can map onto so many different industries. It's a really effective point of entry skill into a lot of different types of roles as well.
That's one of my on favorites. Sales real quick. Yeah. On sales, I think a good framework to think about like sales as a skill beyond just like going into sales is it's the ability to, you know, get other people to buy into your ideas. Mm-hmm. So it's, you know, communication, it's persuasion. And that framework for selling, that applies to whatever kinds of, you know, career paths, whatever kinds of jobs that you hold. Like, you don't have to be directly into sales as a profession to value sales as a skill. Like, how learning how to sell is one of the most valuable things that, you know, you can develop and learn, you know, especially early on in your career. I think it's a, you know, I think we talked about this last episode. It's a huge confidence booster if you know how to sell, whether it's a specific product or service or, you know, convincing someone to give you an opportunity, getting buy-in from other team members on an idea you want to implement to improve something, whatever it is. But learning how to sell is a valuable one. Talk to me, like you mentioned super skills. Mm-hmm. What falls into that bucket for you? Let's go through them.
Yeah. So sales at a high level is probably near the top of my list. And there's functions of that I alluded to, like copywriting would be another one that I would say that's like selling with words. And maybe you're not the like extroverted person that likes to actually directly interact with people. Maybe you want to, you know, sit behind a computer screen and still have tons of opportunities with less direct human interaction. Like copywriting can be a super skill as well, in the sense that you're constructing an offer with words and convincing people to take action. Both of those are very sales oriented skills, but there's sort of divergent career paths in marketing, even customer support, even technical support, like different writing paths that copywriting opens up. Sales is a whole spectrum of different career opportunities. That the reason that I think that both of those are super skills, and I'll rattle off some others here in a minute, is that they're transferable beyond the specific domain that they're in. Like sales, you can be a really effective sales professional, but you can take that same skill and open up tremendous career opportunities for yourself, even if you move laterally into a different career path, different profession. It's a fundamental skill that's going to unlock more career opportunities for you. And that's sort of my off the cuff definition of what determines a super skill. I think another one is like analytical reasoning or logic, the ability to sort of problem solve in the real world from first principles. This is one that the way this transfers into multiple different career domains is like, regardless of what situation you find yourself in, as a professional, you have the ability to sort of evaluate sort of the inputs, outputs, and figure out a way to move forward to solve problems in the real world. That's another one of a super skill. I think that above and beyond this, financial literacy can be another really valuable super skill. And this is broadly speaking, it's not just personal financial literacy, but like business financial literacy included with that is the ability to sort of recognize input costs, output costs, the relationship between price and expenses and value, the perception of value from the customers you're interacting with. Like, that's not something that you necessarily have to develop early on in your career in order to access cool opportunities. But that's one that takes you from I'm entry-level employee, I'm director, I'm VP, taking that stair step up the ladder of like developing a much more broad competency as somebody who can like make high leverage decisions as opposed to, you know, complete tasks that you've been assigned.
Yeah, I think those two together. So I wrote down financial literacy here as well. I almost think like business acumen is probably a better focus for this, because I think that combined with problem solving, critical thinking, you know, the kind of like analytical thinking as well, like that's how you're connecting the dots inside of a business, essentially. Yeah. Like if you're in an entry level customer success role, it's really valuable for in that kind of experience, you can you can learn a lot from like, hey, like I'm dealing with a lot of, you know, a lot more like difficult customers. This, you know, it seems like over the last like month or two, our customers have become more high maintenance. Like, why is that? And then you can connect dots like, oh, let me go check. And like, have we raised our prices? Like, are they, do they now have a different, you know, perception of what they should be getting from our product? And like, is that leading to higher costs? Because like me as an individual customer success rep is having to do, you know, more casework with clients yep. now. Like, is that, and then you can just think through yourself, like, hey, like, does that seem to be the right move for the business? Like, what other information would I need to have in order to like have the full picture of something? Like just being able to go through those kinds of, you know, like thought exercises in your own head, like that's how you can just start like flexing that muscle, that business acumen muscle.
Yeah. I'm gonna rattle off three more super skills and then we can kind of get back to like early career skills, because all three that I'm about to mention are things you can begin to develop early on, but they're not necessarily like the cost of admissions to cool career opportunities. So I think of things like systems thinking, marketing, and content creation, especially in the world we live in today. All three of those, and they have some sort of overlap in terms of like becoming the most effective version of people with those skills. System thinking, I think, is if you can develop the ability to think linearly in terms of like, here's an activity that I do over and over and over again in a business or in my day job. How do I build a system around this particular activity or input so that I can minimize the amount of time that it takes? So like building basic automations is a good example of that applied to the real world. And it doesn't matter which tool you choose. There are tons of tools out there, but the more important underlying thing is the ability to sort of sit down and diagnose this set of activities and break it down into like, here is this process workflow. Now I can build something around that. In the world we live in today too, with the ease of access to not only automation tools, but like basic software capabilities, like that can become a super skill because you can gain much more leverage with your time. Marketing, your ability to promote things, to capture attention, turn that attention into dollars or followers or you know, some type of utility value for your business. Content creation, this is one of the, like, I would say, like, lowest hanging fruit opportunities. Anybody can start creating content. It may take a lot of reps to develop a like, really high aptitude for that, a really high ability the ability to translate that into career opportunities. And it's not just, like, you know, influencer posting TikTok videos. That's not what I mean, but, like, creating actual content that people want to consume. And it could be entertaining content. Maybe it's informative or educational content, but like sort of the whole scope of content creation, figuring out how to master that game. And you may be, you know, that kind of stretches across multiple domains. There's, you know, mastering video content. There's mastering podcast content, written content. There's all these different domains that you could choose to specialize in. I think it's less important which domain and more important of like, begin to develop that rep. These are in sort of all these skills that these super skills we've briefly alluded to. Like, these are things that you can stack together over time throughout the course of your early career that really begin to compound at a much higher clip when they're stacked together. That's where you can really open up a lot of, you know, exciting career opportunities.
Another more soft, like softer skill that I would throw in there would be social and emotional intelligence. So
yeah,
I think this goes beyond communication. It's being able to understand people, being able to relate to them, you know, just the ability to know, hey, you're hopping on a call with somebody, you know, you're hopping on a call with a customer. You need to figure out like, what is their emotional state? What is their attitude as quickly as you can? And then figure out like, what do they need from you? Like, some people in some situations, it makes sense. Like, hey, you want to like match their high energy, or you want to match their like lower energy, so they don't feel like you're trying to overpower them. And different situations like that. I think it's more about just having an awareness of, hey, like having that social and emotional intelligence is valuable, it is important, and just being aware of it can sometimes be like the best way to start developing it. But I think the further on in your career, the more, no matter if you're, you know, in a more specialized, like hard skill oriented role, or you are a true like soft skill generalist, having that social and emotional intelligence, that's how you like raise the ceiling of your career potential long term, in my opinion.
Yeah, EQ, emotional intelligence, like it's an interesting one too. I think of like, so the way that this plays out in your career, to give an expense a specific example, is like emotional intelligence, growing your emotional intelligence is basically increasing your capacity to understand and interpret like what people might have meant and like respond to that appropriately. So I think of like a fun exercise here is like, what are the possible interpretations from what this person's email meant to me? And I think I've done this multiple times in my own career as a fun reflective exercise, is like, think back to a time that I responded to an email poorly or to some type of inbound communication poorly, even if I didn't, you know, hit send on the email, like my initial response and reaction. I think when you're early on in your career, you don't have a ton of professional experience. Even if you have higher like emotional intelligence, you don't have that like professional context. You sort of have this narrow frame of being able to interpret what people might have meant. And it's difficult to be able to charitably interpret without that context. And like, the more experience you have, the broader sort of context you have to be like, oh, they may have meant this instead, or maybe they meant this instead of having that like one dimensional ability to respond to people. That's a really valuable skill to develop. So outside of some of these really valuable hard and soft skills, what I want to get your take on, and we could unpack this for a while, is like, what's the best environment or types of career opportunities to go develop those? Like if I'm a young adult, I know that, hey, there are some of these skills that are valuable for me over the, you know, 3 to 5 year span of my career. What types of things can I be doing? What types of job opportunities that are accessible to me today that are going to help me begin to level up those types of skills?
Yeah, I mean, the simple answer for me would be you want to find a high quality startup company. And by high quality, I mean, it's a combination of what's the health and kind of like trajectory of the company from a business perspective? Like, does it seem like it's gaining momentum, it's growing, et cetera? And we can talk about in future episodes, like how to identify companies, you know, using those kinds of metrics and everything. But the other part of that is high quality in terms of like overall, like team culture environment. Like, does the leadership team like have a good track record of, you know, participating in building successful companies, creating, you know, good team cultures, team environments, et cetera. You know, essentially you want to find a company that's growing, and you want to find a company that has talent that you can learn from, just like kind of foundational professional experience from. I would say it's way less important what specific kind of role that you start in. And it's really like, frankly, it's not very important, like if what the company does in terms of like what products or services they offer, like if that's particularly personally interesting to you. I think everybody is a little bit different there. Like, some people become very industry focused. Like, they want to go, you know, find like, hey, what are the like most in demand high growth industries? And now I want to find like the rocket ship companies within that industry to try to attach myself to. I think that's valuable. I think it's more valuable 3 to 5 year, you know, career timeline than like the 1 to 2 year career timeline. But again, like, you want to surround yourself with, you know, high quality people, essentially. But I say, I think startups are the best compared to either like larger corporations that tend to be more bureaucratic, and then of course like smaller mom and pop, you know, local small businesses, because you get that combination of like the company itself is ambitious in terms of like what they're trying to build. And therefore, like they're attracting a certain kind of, you know, person there, you know, on their leadership team all the way down. And I think that's the most impressive, like that's the most important thing. Like you want to surround yourself with other growth-minded, ambitious, you know, professionals that, you know, some are going to be at your level, entry level and stuff, but, you know, on the leadership team, director level, et cetera. And if you do that, then I think the rest kind of takes care of itself. When I think of skill stacking, I think in the first like 1 to 3 years of your career, the formula that I like is like 80% of your focus should be on kind of become like developing into the top 25% of those kind of like core soft professional skills. Yep. I guess the way I think about it is like, what does it mean to be a high performing, like young startup professional, no matter what your specific job is? So that goes back to everything we've been talking about, like, you know, communication, how to sell, how to write well, you know, developing some basic business acumen, developing that social and emotional intelligence, like 80% of your focus should be on that. And then I would say the other 20% is like, yeah, you should focus on becoming really good in one specialized area. Even if you're not going to stay in that, you know, specialized field long-term, I think just going through the process of like, I am focused on becoming as great as I can be at sales, at content marketing, at, you know, SEO optimization, et cetera, like all that kind of stuff. Like, and you don't have to figure that out right away, but like, again, going back to your idea of like your goal pre-career going into your career should be like, what is the best way for me to get my foot in the door?
Yeah.
The best way to get your foot in the door definitely includes like, what is a specific tangible skill that you can bring to the table to do a specific kind of job? You definitely want to leave that optionality open long-term, but don't be afraid of like, hey, I'm going to go, you know, land a customer success role, you know, at a company, you know, let's just use like Stripe as an example, like 5 to 7 years into Stripe, like they are a hot, you know, startup at that stage. And it's like, you probably can't join their marketing team. You don't have the experience or the skills to do that, but you might be able to land on their customer success team. And that's a lower barrier to entry to land there, but it gets you access into a much higher quality environment.
Yep.
Than you could access if you were prioritizing, like, I have to do marketing as my first job.
Yeah. So I think you definitely set the stage for what we should include in a future episode, going into like specific types of job opportunities, specific types of companies, stages, as early career focuses. What I want to also kind of triage into is like, before you're able to access those opportunities, there are things that you can be doing that are within reach today to refine those skills or begin to build like the foundational level of competence in those. I think I tell people this all the time, like two of my favorite types of early career jobs, and people may or may not agree whether they're career jobs. I think they're like foundational first jobs, like working at a grocery store or waiting tables.
Yeah.
And I'll give you a couple examples of this. Like there's going and clocking in and clocking out and getting the paycheck. That's not what I'm talking about. But like whatever business environment you can access today, figure out sort of the things that drive success in the business. Figure out one metric that the managers care about. Maybe this is like in a grocery store. It's we want to minimize the number of customer complaints. And so you as an ambitious young grocery store clerk are like, what are things that I can do to actually make a difference there? Maybe it's something as simple as like, I'm going to try and make every customer that comes up to the register smile. Like, again, that's one of an infinite number of things that you can do to sort of try and drive success towards this metric that a manager told you matters. It's not so much important what you do. It's about beginning to build that sort of muscle of like understanding, here's how the business measures success. Here are potential inputs that I can contribute at my day job to drive success. Another example is like understanding why they move stuff around in different parts of their grocery store at different times, like end caps. That's marketing. That's positioning. That's like these other business fundamentals that are accessible for you to begin to like gain some professional competency in. Even if you're not the one making those decisions, you can begin to get exposure in this like this arena that you have access to today. Same thing with waiting tables. Like you can begin to develop these actually valuable in-demand skills in the arena you already have access to. Pick a metric, you know, maybe it's like, I want to drive my tip percentage from 10 or 15% to like 30%. Well, what are the things that you can be doing to do that? And again, it's not so much about like actually being successful in driving that. It's beginning to build that muscle of thinking about here's the inputs and activities that I'm doing and how those are contributing to success or how those are competing against my success. That type of thinking and sort of like beginning to view the business environment you're in through this new lens, like that's the beginning first step to developing a higher level of competency across all these different skill areas.
Yep. I love that. I think just bringing into whatever job that you can immediately access or that you already have, like bringing in that learner's mindset into it. Like this is a learning experience.
Yeah.
I'm here to get paid to do specific tasks and responsibilities, but you know, just treating it's like a career playground, even something, you know, as basic as like being a server at a restaurant or, you know, being a cashier at a grocery store. Like there's so much that you can learn beyond just like, you know, checking people out kind of thing. And again, like just, I think everybody should be, you know, like you should go work in the service industry in some capacity as early as you possibly can. And then I would say on top of what you're describing there of like how you can actually like develop that business acumen, how you can kind of just like think from first principles of like how I want to figure out like how this business operates and what, you know, what goes into the decisions that it's making, et cetera, is like get that first job. And then on the side, like focus your personal, professional development education on things that you think you might be interested in long term. So again, if you're interested in, you know, startup business world, like be listening to, you know, those startup podcasts every day, be reading, you know, the top business books that you are recommended by, you know, the kind of like startup influencers that we know about and stuff. Like be reading that, be sharpening your knowledge, and that's going to lead to like different rabbit holes you can go down. And then, you know, a year later, like, all right, I've worked at this grocery store for a year. I've developed some confidence from it. I've developed my people skills. I've kind of have figured out like how this, you know, business store, you know, this business works and everything. And it's like, now you can, you know, take another step forward. It's like, hey, you know, I was starting to, you know, start learning about like the business world and like real estate caught my interest. Hey, I think I'm going to try to go get, you know, a job inside like a local real estate agency, like working the front desk. And, you know, that can lead to like, hey, I started helping out with like their social media marketing while I was working the front desk. And like, you can just keep kind of, you know, there's a snowball effect of kind of stacking those experiences. But I think all that starts with is like bringing into that, you know, any kind of work experience you have, like, you're here to develop skills. You're here to learn things that can be beneficial to you in the future and can kind of help inform like what your next career decisions are.
Yep. I think that's a good way to think about it. Both early career experiences and like how you spend your time early on, whether you're in the job you're trying to access yet or not, or you're like, you know, doing something else, is like, those first few years in particular, learning is more important than anything else. More important than the income, the title, where you're working. Like focus on how you can sort of gain the most leverage from a learning experience early on when you're first starting out. So,
all right, let's recap some of the top skills that we kind of ran through on this episode, just to sum things up. So how to sell. And selling, you know, bigger picture than just like being in a sales role, which is definitely valuable, but like the ability to get buy-in to your ideas, whether it's, you know, wanting to implement a new, you know, kind of new system or new project at work, or, you know, having someone take a chance on you as a new employee, et cetera, but just how to sell yourself, how to sell your ideas is a super skill. Copywriting was a big one. Social and emotional intelligence. What else am I missing?
Business acumen, systems thinking, content creation.
Yep. Marketing. And then those overall communication skills, like just how to write well, how to have a good conversation, public speaking, et cetera, like being comfortable communicating with other people is a huge one. All right, there we go. Skill stacking 101.
All right.
See you next week.
Again.